Good morning. Those of you in outside the sanctuary, if you kindly move your way in, if you're staying, that would be great. And if you're not, will you please leave your name so we can call you later? It's been a great morning so far. I'd like to call the congregational meeting for today to order. And I've asked two gentlemen to open up in prayer. They are the elder nominees, Sam Vinton and Jim Curtis. So I'll give the mic to Sam first, because he's closer.
Let's pray together. Lord, for your goodness, we thank you for who you are, your greatness, the fact that you loved us and we have become your personal treasured possessions. What a joy it is to know that we belong to you, and we pray that as we have met together as your people, you will be aware of your presence and allow your spirit to work through us. Thank you again, Lord, for this church that you've given to us, this building where we as people can come and rejoice together. So I pray a blessing upon our chairman as he leads us, and Pastor John, in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together as a church congregation. And Lord, as we learned this morning, that sometimes in life we have to realign and recalculate and change direction. And we want to focus that direction towards you, Lord. We know that we use the buildings and facilities that we have here as a tool. But Lord, you also use us people as a tool. You don't need to have us, but you ask us to do things. For you, to bring glory to you, Lord. We ask that this morning's meeting would do just that, and that we would continually reach out to our neighboring community here in Byron Center, as well as over the world. So we ask, Lord, that you just bless this time together. In your name, amen.
Thank you, gentlemen. The first order of business that we have today is that we have some balconites that I don't ever remember being in a congregation meeting, never had. And look up or something like that. So they don't have the privilege of having a ballot for the elder deacon slate. So I'm thinking there's 5, 8. There's at least 10. So Nathan, will you grab some ballots and run it up to them? Okay. So we have a recommendation from the board to have Jim Curtis and Sam Vinton be appointed as elder. Do you affirm this recommendation, yes or no? And then the board also recommends that Jason Holtz and Dave Gruber be appointed as a deacon. Do you affirm this recommendation? You should have one piece of paper. It has two ballots on one piece of paper to make it easy for us. Please mark if you're a member or if you're a regular attendee. And the difference is that you have applied for membership. Okay? Now, is there anyone here who do not have a ballot? Okay? We have a few of them.
Jason, there's someone on the far side. If you would catch the far side, please.
They're coming. So, those of you, let me get this better way until everybody gets a ballot. So, I'm going to tell you, run something by you that you may or may not be aware of. Some of you have talked about it, and some of you have brought it to my attention. But we've had like a turnover of elders and deacons, and those are for legitimate reasons, and I want to tell you what those reasons are. Back in 2014, Ben Navarro took a job in Colorado. Keith Leindecker filled his place. Then in 2015, Brian Walker was an elder, and he accepted a new job where he had to actually attend a church that's out by Holland. And then I filled his position. And the next one was Dale Day. In 2016, Dale was nominated as elder, and he was the treasurer at the same time. But Dale provided a plan that we could have a full-time accountant, okay? So he had to resign his position as elder, and Don Pinhove took that graciously, and also the treasurership. And then Lynn Ball was nominated as elder, and was passed in September of last year. It became evident in October that Lynn would not be able to fulfill his role as elder. So I believe it was in December or January that Brad Weinberg took his place. And then Tom Sanchez, the first of this year, resigned as elder because he's going to the mission field. And Jim Hurtis is filling out the remainder of that term. Tom Sanchez and myself retire at the end of this year, and so it was made sense to have Jim come on board, fulfill the remainder of Tom's term, but then he's being nominated today for a three-year position. And then Michael Gilpin resigned for valid reasons in May, I believe it was, and Kendall Thompson took his position. So, and that's going back again. When Jason Himholt went to the mission field, Tyler Bowles took his position. He also served the remainder of Jason's term and another three-year term. So that's what's happened. Now, does everybody have a ballot? Okay, please mark your ballot that you're a member or non-member, and you approve the recommendation from the board. Then we'll be on our way. Pass them to the center aisle. I will turn it over to John now.
Excellent. And I just want to clarify what Jim just walked through, all those transitions, were told to you to encourage you. Oftentimes, you might hear that there's a lot of transition on the board like that, and it can be worrisome. Are there issues going on behind the scenes? And we want to reassure you that there are not. In fact, the leadership, John, Brett, and myself, truly feel like our board is probably the healthiest that it's been since the time in which we came on. And we are incredibly encouraged by that. And the board and staff relationship also has never been better. So we're excited. We wanted to share that with you to know that all of those instances of board members leaving have been for good reasons and reasons that we're excited about, although we're never excited to see them go. Don't take that wrong. But God has also been faithful in finding replacements for them that have served this church faithfully. So just a little clarification on what you meant to say. I want to let you know two other things. We have recently and excitedly brought on two ladies onto our administrative committee. Our administrative committee helps to serve as a personnel committee for some of our staff. And we were honored to have Catherine McManus and Gina Pello come along and join John, Brett, and myself, as well as the chairman of the board, Jim, chairman of the deacons, which is Jason Hawkins currently, and Randy Belting as the chair. And so we're encouraged by that. We're encouraged already in the couple meetings that we've had with them. The insight that they bring as ladies into a room full of guys, I don't have to tell you how easy it is for us as men to overlook things. I'm not trying to harp on us men, but there's a reason that men and women are brought together, and those ladies have already been a great encouragement to us. You should know that the administrative committee is not the board. It does not make formal decisions. It offers up ideas and thoughts to the board to be voted on. And so we are excited to have these ladies live into that process with us. So we would ask you to pray for them. This is a new thing for them, and there's a lot of weight on them as kind of the first ladies in an opportunity to help speak into the life of the church a bit more. And we're excited about that. So please be in prayer for Gina Pillow and Catherine McManus as they join us in that process. With that, I'll turn it over to John.
The next couple of weeks, so we just wanted to have three particular individuals on staff just come up and share briefly what's happening in the ministry year, some changes, some encouraging things, some things we're looking forward to, and to be able to share that. So we're going to start with our youth group program, and then we'll have Karen Niemeyer representing children's ministry, and then Cameron's going to come up and kind of talk a little bit about some second hour adjustments. And after they're done, then we'll get right into our Breton group report. So our youth staff.
Hello, my name is Tara Kissa. This is Kaylee Elder and Cameron Beefus, and we all get to work together with our youth ministry department, which includes grades 5th through 12th, and includes Drop Zone as well. So that's all under one umbrella, and we get to work together to just make things happen and work with a great staff of volunteers as well. So I just wanted to start by just giving a little bit of background of where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And then these two have some other things to add after that. So over the past 3 years, we've really been focusing heavily on servant leadership development for our students. Many of you have students who are part of that, have been trained, and are serving on a weekly basis, and we love that. We want more and more students to join us in that effort. One of the testimonies that I'd like to share real quick was posted in the Reflections newsletter this past June. We had a bunch of different testimonies from our graduating senior class, and Hannah Veltman said, "I'm grateful for Rush Creek because it has given me so many opportunities to grow in my faith and serve. From learning Bible verses in Cubbies and Sunday school to applying them while serving in ministries such as Impact 56 and Drop Zone. Rush Creek has equipped me to own my faith and to share it with others. My involvement at Rush Creek has taught me how to show Christ's love to everyone I meet and has taught me how to be a servant leader." So that's from one of our seniors, and if you got that Reflections newsletter, you go back and look at it. There's like 15 different testimonies from some of our seniors. And that really goes to show that there's life development here happening at our church, with students really giving on a weekly basis and growing in many different ways, spiritually as one of them. So currently, we're still pursuing those things. We're still pursuing student leadership, but we've had a little bit of changes in our staffing, or just in how we're running things. I currently am not on staff full-time anymore. I'm 24 hours a week, and that was something that we've been working through for the past year since I found out I was pregnant. Since I have a son now, I'm part-time, and then we were able to bring on Kaylee with more hours, and Cameron as well. So between the three of us, we're all part-time. They have more hours than I do, but together we're leading the way forward, along with Sarah Riegler, who is our administrative assistant. She helps us a ton as well. So right now, as of this coming Sunday, Flipside begins our high school program, and after that, Drop Zone and all our younger programs begin as well, and we're very excited about that, and we hope that any of your students who haven't been involved yet would give it a try. Come meet us, come meet our awesome teams of volunteer leaders who are here week in and week out and love your kids. So we hope to have you join us if you're not already joining us. And then, so looking ahead, we're excited to continue teaching, training, encouraging our students and encouraging each other in these leadership teams. And everything that we do, we're trying to accomplish our vision, which is empowering a community of students who passionately love Jesus Christ, selflessly serve, and intentionally reach out. Those three areas are our major focuses. And all of that is in the attempt to, like Hannah said, own their faith so that once they leave here, they're not leaving their faith. They take it with them.
Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. We are really excited for the ministry year to start. In terms of Drop Zone especially, we have 12 days until the program starts, and I am excited. I've got a countdown going. We're excited for probably 70 to 80 kids come in the door on Thursday and be able to learn about them and to develop those relationships that will hopefully not just be here at Drop Zone, but outside of Drop Zone and through their high school career. We've seen that happen in the past, and that's something I'm really excited about this year. Since I just spoke on Sunday morning a couple of weeks ago, some things that have happened is our volunteer trainings, which were awesome. We are blessed to have a handful of new leaders, some from our church, some not from our church, that are going to be assisting us in the Drop Zone program. And I'm just so excited to have them on board and to see what God's going to do through them and with them, because it is the leaders that are the light to these kids every week, day in and day out. And those leaders were excited. I just walked out of that meeting and I started my countdown because they are ready to go, and I'm really blessed to be with them in that way. Another thing that I'm looking forward to is our field trips and our adventure groups, and I mentioned that when I spoke on a Sunday morning, and here's why I'm excited. I'm excited about that because those are moments that we get to spend with the kids out of this building and experiencing real-world things with them. A positive experience at a park or art prize for some of our older kids, and those are great ways to build relationships with them outside of our normal routine here at Drop Zone. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here in this building and for giving us volunteers and supporting us through prayer.
Hello, I'm Cameron Deepis. I'm in charge of 5th through 8th grade ministries here in Rush Creek, and I'm also excited, especially because of the fact that this year I have a great leadership team. I have 36 leaders that are going to be investing and administering to and solely there for our 5th through 8th grade kids. And that leader ranges from an 8th grader student leader up to Mr. Tim. So not too big of an age gap there. But it should be a lot of fun, and I'm so excited for my leaders and for the heart that they have to invest into our students 5th through 8th grade. And when you have so many leaders, it allows for that relationship to get deeper, and I'm hoping I can push them and also push myself to really do that this year. And like Tara was saying, we didn't talk about this, but she kind of stole a bit of what I wanted to say. It was really cool this last year to see so many of our seniors leave the church, but then continue to either serve in ours or another church. And for me, that's one of the biggest, like, we did it moments when they decide to own their faith and continue in the church. Because I have so many friends who have left the church as soon as they went to college. They couldn't own their faith. It was their parents' faith. It's over. We're going to live our own lives. But to see them in church and serving is just an amazing thing, and that's like just the goal.
Program here at Rush Creek. We started 252 kids. Now, if you were in the service this morning, which most of you were, you might have noticed there was no Kidmo slide. Kidmo is done for now. We're starting a brand new program. It's called 252 Kids, and we're starting right at the beginning of the service. It's a full worship service, so the kids will not be in here with us. They will not be dismissed halfway through. We start right away, and we have the full service for them. How many of you noticed in the video, it was going so fast, what is 252? Anybody notice? Luke 252, yeah. So we talked about that with the kids this morning, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Well, those are a lot of big words. Well, what's wisdom? Well, it's getting smarter. Well, what's stature? It's getting taller. All of our kids are doing that, right? They're all learning. They're all getting smarter and taller. We can't make them stop, even if we try. I know I've tried. But in favor with God and man, that's kind of the big thing. And I actually read this to them out of a different version of the Bible. We use the NIV here at Rush Creek. That verse was the NIV, but in the NIRV, which is the reader's version, it goes like this. Jesus became wiser and stronger. He also became more and more pleasing to God and to people. And that's what we want for our kids. We want them to be pleasing to God, and we want them to get along with people and reflect that image of God when they deal with other people. So that's what we're working on in 252 Kids. Now, if you have kids that were in 252 Kids this morning, and that's first grade through fourth grade, they should have come home with a paper that looks like this. And I printed on cardstock, so it's a little bit sturdier, because I know these things take a beating on the way home. But this is called our God Time card. And it's got 4 days. You've got 6 more days before we come back to church. But there's 4 days on here, so you get 2 of them are free. If you forget it or you miss it, you can still get it done. But encourage your kids to do this. If they're young, if they're first or second graders and are not reading real well yet, do it with them. If they're third and fourth graders, they can probably do it on their own, but encourage them to do this. Because I know when my kids were this age, they probably wouldn't have picked this up on their own. But as parents, we can encourage them and they can do this. And then they have that feeling of accomplishment that, hey, I did it. And do it consistently. Don't do the whole thing in one day. I know that's the temptation. But do it consistently and take that time with God every day, or at least 4 days out of your week. The other thing that I have been working on is this little book. It doesn't look like much, but this is something that I've been working on since January. This is my new children's ministry handbook. And I've been training our children's ministry volunteers to go through this and get all the information. This is a lot of stuff that we have been doing over the years in children's ministry, a lot of our policies and procedures that we have done, and they've kind of been out there, but I've never had them all consolidated into one place. So this little booklet has taken me about 8 months to put together, and I started with one from another church, which is always easier to have something on the page than looking at a blank page. So I started with one that we borrowed from another church, and then I modified it, and then I handed it over to some of my volunteers, and they gave me some really good suggestions, and I made those changes, and then I gave it to Brett Elder, and he's our grammar police, and he made some really good suggestions. So I don't think you'll even find a typo in here. It's amazing. I gave it to my sister, and she will find it. If there's a typo in here, she will find it. She has not found it yet. So if you are interested, this is mainly for our children's ministry volunteers so that they all have our policies and procedures and we're all doing things in the same way. But if you're a parent or just somebody that's interested, you are welcome to look this over and just see what are security procedures, what do we do in the nursery for changing diapers, who takes the kids to the bathroom. All those kinds of things are in here. So if you're interested and you would like to look it over, I have some extra copies. I think that's all. Thank you for being here. And please pray for us. Like I said, this is our first morning with our new program. We had a few small little technical difficulties, but I think overall it went pretty smoothly. But please keep praying for us. And I told my volunteers Thursday night in our training, I think the devil is in the wires and in the technology, and he messes it up. And he doesn't want us to get that message across to the kids. So he's working against us. So please pray for us that we'll be able to get all of that worked out and that message will come through loud and clear to the kids.
Awesome. Thank you, Karen. Well, hey, I just want to give you a couple quick updates about second hour, so things that I'm excited about. The first is we have been working on, particularly Brad and myself, over the past summer, kind of an overhaul of pretty much our entire understanding of why we do second hour. We realized that we had some people ask us some really good questions about our journey of discipleship here at Rush Creek. What is our discipleship journey? And that was a really great question because I didn't have an answer. And I realized, and Brett realized, that we needed to. Currently, in years past, as we found classes for second hour, it was kind of a smorgasbord of, well, who can I get to teach? By offering them, they can teach on whatever they want to teach. And while we had some great teachers, and I love not necessarily having to tell a Dr. Phil or Pastor Tim Conklin what they need to teach on, because they know far more about life and scripture than I probably ever will. In fact, they've probably forgotten more than I'll ever know, but that's beside the point. They do a great job of coming up with some awesome things to teach you on their own. But we realized that we needed a process in place to help people move from point A to point Z. And we weren't really doing that. And so we are starting that process this year. It's not complete. It will take quite a bit of time. But we want to get to the point where so many of our second hour classes help to move you along a journey of discipleship. And it's hard to really explain what that looks like, and I could probably take the full hour to do so, but I know John has some important stuff he wants to share with you, and so I won't do that. And so I just want to give you some updates of what is happening this year. We wanted to start with those people who are brand new to Rush Creek, because if we don't start there, then they will get lost and never get into this process of the discipleship journey here at Rush Creek. And so we came up with two things. We came up with two classes. One is brand new, and the other is an expansion of something that we were already doing this past year. The first one is Rush Creek Connect. Rush Creek Connect is a one-time-a-month class that new people at Rush Creek can come to just one time. You don't need to come to it multiple times. But it will happen. It's in our second-hour brochure here. It will happen on the dates of September 17th, October 22nd, November 19th, and so on. We've already got those dates down. But it's a time for new people to come and meet either John or myself, as well as a board member or two, and some of our key volunteers in a class. For us, the purpose for being for us to get to know them better. They may have been here a couple of weeks, and they may have gotten to know us, but we want to reach out and make sure that we're getting to know them as they come in. And so we're going to point everybody new as their next step for integration here in Rush Creek to come and check out Rush Creek Connect. It's an opportunity for us to get to know them better. And we're excited about that, because that will naturally lead into the expansion of the second thing, which is our Rush Creek Foundations class. We've worked hard to say, what are the important things that we want our people at Rush Creek to know in their first year here? What is the beginning? What is the genesis of their discipleship journey here at Rush Creek? And we came up with three things. First, it was Rush Creek Foundations that focuses on who are we as a church, helping people that are new here in their first year to understand what drives us. And so in that, it's a four-week session of Pastor John taking a week to talk about mission and vision. Myself taking a week to talk about simply who we are, what ministries do we offer, who's on staff, history of our church, and helping them know just a bit more about the realities of who we are as a church. Another week spent on our doctrinal distinctives, what makes us a little bit different, what sets us apart. And then a final week spent on how can we serve, what are those ministry opportunities, and how can you get involved right away. The second portion of that, the following 4 weeks, is focused on spiritual gifts. And focused on your, as the congregation, spiritual journey. Where are you in your walk with the Lord? So we'll be taking 4 weeks to do a couple things. Taking some spiritual gift tests to help you understand what your gifting is. Also using the results of those to help you plug in into ministries that will utilize those gifts. So that as you use them, you are being encouraged and built up rather than feeling drained by serving in a ministry that doesn't empower your gifting. We want to see that happen. But then also walking you through kind of a Christian life profile. Where are you in your walk with the Lord? How can you grow spiritually? In order to do that, you have to understand where you're starting from. What is that starting point? So the following 4 weeks, we'll be looking at less of who we are as a church and more of where you are as a congregation and helping you to understand where that starting point is so that we can help you grow from there. And the last one is our servant leadership. We're taking four more weeks after the third section in this foundations class to focus on servant leadership, drawing from the work that our youth staff and Tara has done on their servant leadership training process. But we want to streamline that. You'll be missing a lot, but we want to streamline it into a four-week series that helps you to understand why we at Rush Creek are so passionate about servant leadership training. The youth have done a great job, and I'll be honest, they are setting the example for so many of us as adults. And we want to help all of us as adults have a better understanding of why servant leadership is so important to us. And realizing the understanding that Christ himself gives us that example of leadership through service. And so the final 4 weeks will be focused on that. And so what that does, that creates a 12-week session broken up into three phases. And those three phases coincide with our Rush Creek Connect classes. so that as somebody goes into Rush Creek Connect and meets us, and we meet them for the first time, as in the pastoral leadership, they then can move into whatever section is next. It gets a little confusing. I have it on a calendar, and so you can come talk to me afterwards if you want more. But basically how it works out is if you were to then come to Rush Creek Connect on September 17th, which is next week. If you're new here, thank you for coming to our congregational meeting. Also, come check us out next week at Rush Creek Connect. But starting the week after that, Rush Creek Foundations will kick off, and you can move right into that. But if you miss that first four-week session, we don't want you to have to wait until spring in order to start up. So you can move right into Section 2 if you came during the month of September. Obviously, I'm talking about future people, nobody here that applies to specifically. And so then you can work yourself into the next one. And the cool thing is we're going to offer these three courses both this semester and starting again in the spring. So every fall and every spring, we're going to have a session of 12-week courses split into four, focusing on those areas of who we are as a church, secondly, who you are in your spiritual gifting and where you're at in your spiritual growth, and lastly, on servant leadership training. And people can plug themselves in to each of those and take those in whatever order they want to. But ultimately, they're getting those three things in the first year that they are here. So it's a lot to process, but we're really excited about that. We think it's an intentionality towards discipleship and spiritual growth that we haven't had here, at least as long as I've been here. And that's making a statement about my own inability to make that happen. And so I'm excited that we're making this step, making this process forward, and encouraged to see how people that are new to Rush Creek can engage in that process, knowing that their next step is this Rush Creek Connect. And the next step after that is our Rush Creek Foundations. After there, it'll start to open up. But giving people that intentionality of knowing what their next step is, I think, is helpful. Because otherwise, we have people come in and begin to flounder and then eventually aren't able to latch on somewhere and feel connected and then leave. And that's the last thing. So I'm really excited about that. I'm also really excited about two new classes, and then I'll wrap it up, that are focusing specifically on discipleship themselves. We're offering a men's class and a women's class that will be focusing specifically on the issue of discipleship. We want to see our men and women here at Rush Creek dive into an understanding of how they can be disciples of Christ and come together into disciple-making relationships. And we've done a poor job of facilitating that, and we want to see that change. And so we're excited to have those classes begin next week, really focusing on what does it look like for us to be disciples? What does it look like for us to enter into disciple-making relationships with other people who want to see the same thing? So definitely check out those. I'm also excited for the sake that there are a men's class and a women's class. And so you get to dive into those topics from different points of view. And so I would even encourage some married couples to go to those classes separately and then come back afterwards and talk about what you're learning and how it might apply in your relationship. So those are just a few updates. There are a couple of classes that are also closing as a result. We only have so much space in the building, and we also want to see second hour move away a bit from every class being kind of an age and stage type of class. And so we actually are having it used to be called the Young Marrieds class, but it was Young Marrieds for about 8 years in a row, so we were getting a little bit older. That class will be closing, as well as the Building Foundations class. And we'll be consolidating some. If you were in those classes, you can have an opportunity to check out some other ones. Otherwise, we still have our Faithful Families class that we'll be meeting as well. And we're looking to see that class broaden a bit as well. So we're excited about those changes and encouraged about what the Lord is doing here at Rush Creek, especially in the area of second grade. With that, I want to turn it over to Jim.
I think Cameron is one of the few people that can put as much information in a short period of time that I've ever known. And I sit there and I just think, breathe. Take a breath. You should be excited. You should be energized. And you should realize that God is already, has been, and is at work at Rush Creek Ministry. And everything you heard, you should be taking that to heart, to be praying for your staff, all the volunteers that are involved, and for God to continually work through this church. A lot of the things you just heard came out of previous congregational meetings and questions that people had, and we're listening. It's important for you to know that. Your input is extremely valuable. Several months ago, we asked and talked about that regarding the Breton group, and I know that's, I have this here, I know that's part of what we want to finish out with, and I think, is this working here? Christian, can you go to that first one? Okay. And then go to the next one. Here we go. So when we did the Brenton Group report, it was basically an opportunity to be able to answer three questions as to what were the primary issues with phase one. And many of you who've been here before have seen and understood what phase one was in the big picture. Phase one was auditorium renovation, was children's wing reconfiguration and renovation for security and space, the interior changing of the gymnasium to more of a commons welcoming center, and then a family life center in the back part of our property that would extend our ministry out into the community, but also allow our youth group to move out in there, creating more interior space in this building. So it's all compiled together, all brought together, shared with you, brought with you, given some financial figures around $5.5-6 million. Along with that was capital improvement funding. All of that was shared. All of that has been prayed about for months, literally years for some of us, but months, and we asked you as a congregation. Then we brought in an outside group, Brenton Group, that actually specifically began to mire down into those three areas. What will phase one actually cost? What's the proposed feasibility financially? And what is the proposed achievable with our unique landscape? So that's where the three questions that we wanted to ask and move forward. Go ahead and go to the next slide, Christian. There we go. The purpose of the study. Purpose of the study, and you can see it up there, awareness of facility needs to support current and future growth. Measure the potential to secure $4.5 to $5.5 million for the proposal. Project church priority alignment with the congregation. Is leadership, is all of this in alignment with the congregation? And then measure support for a capital stewardship campaign. That was the objective and the purpose of the study. Those involved are 150-plus individuals or couples participated in the study. And most of you probably in this room were a part of that. 30% of those interviews represented a cross-section of the congregation. So a group of about 48 were actually physically interviewed. We couldn't interview everybody, but it was just a cross-section of the congregation. And those numbers represent about 36% of the overall giving units that participate in the ministry of Rush Creek. And so, what were some things that we came out with? Some things we came out with as what were positive with the Brenton Group report. And these are slides that Brenton Group gave us. So they're not edited. I didn't change them. It's in a report they gave us. And this was a handout here. And then the more formal-looking report was this green little booklet that they gave to us with a lot of statistics. By the way, I do have, I think they're on the back shelf, and if some of the guys are willing to, I do have some handouts that are, all they are these slides. That's all they are. And if you want one, I'll just give it to these guys, and you can just raise your hand up, and they'll hand it to you so you can follow along with us, okay? And there's some in the back. Jason, get somebody else to help you with that, too. But all they are the slides. There's nothing new, but it'll help you kind of reference and reinforce that and to be able to spread that out. So what were some things? The Brenton Group said, here are some favorable conditions. Here are some things that we felt very encouraged about. Respondents feel good about their Rush Creek community, worship focused on missions and various ministry opportunities. Let's go to the next one. Over 75% of the respondents described their involvement with the church as strong or moderate. They're actually involved in a church. Thank you, Christian. Respondents trust the leadership team and their ability to ascertain, identify needs, and to make sound decisions. I don't want to gloss over the impact of that. The overwhelming reality of support and confidence in leadership is huge. It also gives a major weight of responsibility and accountability to your overall leadership team within the board and the executive leadership team that are involved. But that's huge. That's highly encouraging. That's probably, to me personally, one of the more encouraging aspects of that report. The next one was respondents perceived the feasibility study, what was happening, that it was a good investment. It was well worth the money. The rate of return was excellent. Let's go to the next one. Respondents agreed that the worship space and other facilities need to be upgraded. Most everybody was unanimous in that belief and in that understanding. Almost every week, sometimes you know it, sometimes you don't. But things happen here, audio and visually and electronically, that go on that need to be replaced. 54% said they would consider supporting a campaign, and that's the campaign in its fullness of what was presented, the $4.5 to $5.5 million approach. That was what was asked in those respondents, and they said yes. Nearly everyone indicated they would support a campaign if that's what the church leadership decides. And you think about what that statement really says. The confidence of leadership are not blind lemmings just falling over the cliff. The belief in the value of Rush Creek Ministry is that we believe in the leadership, we're willing to invest in what leadership decides, but here's the thing. What it says to me is that we trust leadership will listen to us, and that we trust leadership will do the right thing because we as a congregation have spoken. That's what it says to me, and that is what's so encouraging, because we are listening, and we have been. So let's go on to the next one. Now, here's some things that were challenges. Red Group called them unfavorable. I don't like that term. I like challenges, okay? And they're not negative. They're honest, genuine feelings. You people that responded were honest about this, and you shared some concerns. And that really gives confidence to leadership to know that you trust us enough to say, here are the things we're really concerned about. So what were they? Respondents have doubt that 4.5 to 5.5 million can be secured for phase one, the entirety, as proposed. There's concerns about that. There's doubt about that. I don't look at that and say, oh, we have such little faith. Not at all. We have responsibility to be good stewards of what we have and what we are given and what we extend out. So that's a genuine. Next one. Weak connection between perceived needs and costs, especially the Family Life Center. We just don't know. We're not certain about why do we need that facility and what will it constantly cost us monthly to support. And what is the purpose for that? And so there was a weak connection to that, a non-understanding of really the validity and why were we pushing for that and what was the need for that. So the next one. Questions remain regarding alternatives to the Family Life Center building. For example, one thing that came out of that was in the Family Life Center building was a 200-seat auditorium for alternate worship experiences, perhaps maybe even an extended worship service there that's simulcast from here. And some people were saying, wait a minute. We don't even have two worship services going on right now. Why do we need a second one back there? It's a great question. So we've already commissioned a task force right now that will get to you a report in January to evaluate Rush Creek's what are alternative worship experiences. What would a dual worship service look like? How does that impact our second hour programming, which is vital to our DNA? And what would it do to the timing of services and time changes with second hour and worship service? All of those things are valid. We've already put into place a study to look and evaluate what can we do in alternative worship opportunities as a result of that question. Let's go to the next one. There's lack of general enthusiasm about the entire phase one project. We don't look at that as a negative as much as people have questions. And those questions aren't being answered in the way people would be encouraged by. And it's the entirety of the project. And we know that the entirety of the project from the survey and from the smaller data really weighed heavily on the new building, the Family Life Center. So we understood that. Let's go on. Lack of confidence in phase one plan, support, and success. Overall, $4.5 to $5.5 million. Just not sure we can do that. Is that possible right now with what we have? And so there were some concerns. But again, the issue was if leadership says this is absolutely the direction we would go, most everybody said we'll support that. We'll find a way. But we've got concerns that we need to deal with. So what's the next thing? The next thing is these are the things that they began to say, okay, here's what we're finding out for you. Here are the things that we find out for you. You have a current giving potential range could be as much as $3.5 million with people making sacrificial giving and sacrificial gifts here in the church. Next one. There's this uncertainty about $4.5 to $5.5 million right now. Okay? Got that. So most would support renovations of the current building and a less costly Family Life Center. So people are interjecting some of their ideas about what would that back building look like and would it be less costly. We might be able to, we could see that. We might be able to work with that. But the idea is we agree that things internally need to happen, need to change. Let's go on. Respondents supported a financially responsible, achievable plan minimizing long-term debt. That's huge because that's reality. That's good stewardship. I can assure you there is no intention or taking lightly any form of debt at all. And so the significance of that statement is you as a congregation are saying, we want a financially responsible, we want an achievable plan, and we want to make sure we're not going into long-term debt. And we agree. All of us agree to that. Next one. Need to more strongly connect church mission programs, space inadequacies, and proposed project solutions. So, we say we have needs. Where are they? How do you know about them? We talked about having a video that would be like one of those time-lapse videos. We'd have Cameron narrate it, of course, that would speed up an entire week and would show you what's happening in this church during the week. I think most of you would be shocked to see all the activity that goes on in this church during the week, but you really don't get a chance to know that. So people are saying, we want to know. Why do we have a need for that? Why do we have a need for more spaces and more classrooms, more youth? Why do we have a need for those things? And so those are areas that we want to be challenged with. Let's go on. So these are now our conclusions, okay? This is as a leadership team, the board, executive leadership team, which is Cameron, Brett, and myself, the administrative committee, those in leadership. These are the things now that we have said. This is our response to this. We're hearing you. We're listening to you. I personally am extremely encouraged. We have been praying for years and for months diligently for the Lord to speak clearly. And I believe he has. And he has through you. And that's what we asked for. And he's answered that prayer. And that is an extreme blessing. So what have we learned? What have we gained? We're honored by the trust you placed in leadership. We're humbled by that, but we know we're accountable to that. We accept that responsibility. Putting forth the entirety of phase one out of the gate as proposed was a step of faith. It was a big picture vision. What can we get for the biggest bang for a buck? We can do all of this. Well, that's what vision does. It throws it out there and it establishes a connection. We've learned far more valuable information than simply how much the congregation is willing to afford, and it's extremely encouraging. This was not just about money. Matter of fact, it was a lot more than just about how much money can you raise. It was the heart, the pulse of you as a congregation, the concerns, the challenges, but also the overwhelming confidence that we have to do something. We've got to step into this community. We have to be ready. But how are we taking care of ourselves? How are we becoming healthy as a church? Cameron describes some of those ways we're choosing to do that in his second hour discipleship probing. We do have a congregational consensus on what we're willing to tackle together. We're not abandoning the master site plan, but we are we're rearranging the priorities and restructuring of them. Let's go to the next one. Now, how come that's? Okay. What we'd like to do is, I know what the top one is, what we want to do is in the next several months, we're going to be working on revised plans, and we're going to be working on restructured facility plans. We know that some needs are evident and are absolute, and we're going to be working on that together, and we are committed to get to you within several months. And I'll just be bold enough to tell you by the end of October, early November, we will probably have another congregational meeting, and we'll be able to share with you, here is a revised, here is an outlook of what we really think we can do based upon your input, based upon leadership and the direction of where God would take us. We're prepared to be working on that and diligently pursuing that. There's a task force to set up, and I already told you about that. Continued focus on internal health, and Cameron shared that with you, second hour strategies. Communication efforts to help increase the understanding. So we're opening up every avenue of communication. I actually have contemplated a Twitter account. Thank you, Cameron. But how are ways that we can communicate and open up and become more accessible and more invested into what you are so you can understand better? We have some remarkable opportunities ahead to strengthen our church, meet the rapidly growing needs of our community, participate corporately in glorifying God with our obedient steps. This is a phenomenal opportunity. This is a challenge that we have that we are so accepting of and so grateful for your input and your response. Let's go to the next one. That's it. Here's the thing. All along there's been oftentimes challenges and the belief that sometimes people leadership don't listen. You just do what you're going to do. This is a congregational church. We own this together. Our hearts beat together on this. And we are so confident and so excited, having heard from you, having listened to you, having understanding where you're at, to be able to present and to give to you what we are extremely confident and will be confident about, that we can align ourselves together with a bit of a challenge of stepping out in faith and pursuing a path and an avenue and a direction that God would have this church to take. So I can promise to you that that will be taking place from now till the end of October, early November. I can promise you that sometime in that period of time, we'll come back to you. And I can promise you that between that time, there will be a sequence of meetings, of getting together, talking about questions you might have, and coming to a better understanding of the direction and the flow. I cannot emphasize enough leadership's gratitude and appreciation for all of you who participated in this survey. And even some of you who didn't, but still voiced your strength and your concerns. We're grateful for that. It's exciting. You should be energized. You should be excited about what we just heard. Overwhelmingly, in all the data from Brett Group, it constantly said, John, this church is ready to do something. This church is ready to move. Leadership, can you capture that together with the congregation, binding us together to serve God in a very unique way? And we believe we can. And that's what's so exciting about this. I know our time is over now, but I wanted to have, I know there's often time for questions. Here's what I would like to do about the question time. I don't want to diminish the opportunity publicly to be able to ask questions. What I am going to do is I'll ask Jim, in prep time. Jim will close our time in prayer. If you have some specific questions about what you've heard and what you're needing to know more of, it, I'm going to invite you to come sit up here. Myself, Brett, Cameron maybe, except he's got 12 kids he has to go get. Jim will be here. We can answer those questions that you might have. We will have other opportunities in church hall meetings to be able to do that. The fact that so many of you are here this morning, took the time out to be here, is overwhelmingly encouraging. And I'm so grateful for you. We mean that sincerely. We have prayed so hard for the Lord to speak. And he has. And he's spoken through you. And it's so awesome to be able to begin to combine and look at where we go. Because we can do it together. And that is so sweet. So I want to thank you. Thank you for your trust of your entire leadership. Thank you for your investment into our ministry team that you've heard. Continue to pray for them. Continue to volunteer. There's still needs constantly. But most importantly, you pray in your heart as we recalculate where God would have us go. Because he knows, and he's ready, and he wants us with him. And we will be. So I'll have Jim close our time in prayer. If you have questions, you come right up in here, sit down. Whoever does come here, the rest of you, they can go, and you'll be able to get your children and be able to finish. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for coming. And Jim, go ahead and close your time in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we're grateful, most of all, for the salvation that we find in Jesus Christ. And we're grateful, Lord, that we have that hope that we'll spend eternity with you. But Lord, with that salvation comes ownership of being a Christian. We just pray that our lives will reflect what Christ has done to us, and that we might be a missionary to you, those that we work with, play with, that we neighbor with. Worship that they might see Christ in us. Help us to have a servant attitude, Lord, in our walk with you. Lord, we do pray for great things to happen. We know you're moving us in a certain direction. We just don't have clarity of what that final picture looks like yet. We thank you again for all those that have participated today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just like to add that Elder and Deacon Slate is been affirmed. Thank you.
If you have questions, please come up here in the front. And we'll be here for a while. The rest of you can leave if you have. And we'll spend some time with you as long as it takes up here.